Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, I love that song so much. I really hate to cut it off. That song pulled me through years ago when I was going through one of the worst periods of my entire life. You people may have remember me saying something about that. People, we're getting ready to bring on the one and only Monica Schaefer in just a minute. She's going to tell us all about the police state around the world. And she's going to put the microscope, the laser, on Canada. Canada is becoming even more overwhelming than the United States. And Matt is going to drive that interview because when he starts, I'm going to pretty much shut up. But before we go to that, I'm going to take a minute to explain what went on the last segment. I hope you people don't think I'm too hardcore or too rude. But you know what? Here's the way it is. Here's the way I look at it. And I don't want people to think that I have anything against Jared Taylor or Dr. Kevin McDonald or any of these other people. They're not quite hardcore as I am, whatever hardcore. Well, I consider hardcore someone who's going to look at the truth, and the truth is always the truth. You cannot tell a lie. And this is what's going on right now. As you know, I've said this 100 times. You can go to our website and look at it. People, we are in global white genocide even as we speak. They're butchering people in South Africa. They're raping them to death. The same thing is going on down here in the Mexican border. Every white nation in the world is being totally overrun by non-whites, non-Christians. We are just mere years away from being exterminated in our own country. And if I can tell somebody, I don't care if they got 52 degrees from every Ivy League school in the country. If I come up and tell people, our people are being exterminated, Jack. They're being killed and raped and burned in the most miserable, most horrible way you can possibly kill somebody. And it's coming to us right now. The exact same thing is going on in Europe. It's going on here in America. That's what's going on, Jack. And if you can't get that, what else do you need? If you can't be hardcore after that, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and what I call, and I hate the term, don't ever punch to the right. Well, like I've told Matt before, Matt agrees with me. No, I'm not going to punch to the right. I'm going to take a bat and hit somebody and try to get them some sense, try to get through their thick skull. There's no more time for these flowery speeches. Now, it's okay if you want to preach to somebody that doesn't know what's going on. But once you tell them what's going on in Africa with the genocide all over the world, if they can't come to grips with that, then I'm done with them. I'll let these other people preach to them. But like Jesus said, you go to a village and you preach the gospel, and if they reject that gospel, then shake the dust off your sandals, and verily, verily, I say to you, it will go better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment for those people. And I tell you what, I hope if these people, if they sit around and they start get butchered and we're still alive, don't come calling for us. Now with that, I'm just going to explain myself. I hope people don't think I'm too rude, but I tell you what, we don't have any more time to be soft and mamby-pamby. Now, okay, with that, I'm going to shut up. Matt, would you like to carry on? Now we're going to introduce Miss Monica Schaefer. She's our guest tonight. Miss Monica, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you. I really did enjoy your little speech there. It's 100% correct and true, and we don't really have time to, you know, pansy around. And, I mean, everything they are doing to us right now is for that goal of basically getting rid of us. And if we object, if we just raise a little finger or point out a truth about it, they call it hate. They call it hate speech. They call it hate propaganda or right-wing extremism or extreme violence on the internet, this kind of thing. I mean, this is what's happening. We just speak truth and they invert it on their heads. And so, yeah, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, it is a pleasure to have you back on our show. I love talking to you. This is Matt. So you were talking about a movie that's come out in Canada called Fireflies, are gone. Tell us about this. Fireflies are gone. Tell us about this movie and get it, kind of bring it back to this, how it's exterminating us and this lack of truth.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. So once a month, the local film club here brings in a film that's independent film or non-Hollywood film, and I've been going to those for years and years, and I've always enjoyed them, although in recent years, I don't know if it's due to my own awakening or if these films are also just going downhill, I've enjoyed them less. And so the latest one, yeah, the latest one was a Canadian award-winning film called The Fireflies Are Gone. And I could sum up the basic message of that film in four words: no future and no hope. Basically, it was about a high school girl who was about to graduate from high school, and she was smart, she was pretty, she seemed to have lots going for her, but basically the film is depressing. It's depicting her in this attitude that basically she doesn't really care what's going to happen after high school because she has no hope, there's just no future, you see. And so this film had no redeeming qualities. I kept waiting for there to be a breakthrough at the end. There was no breakthrough. I thought she would come out of this melancholy, you know, but she never did. It ended on a very depressing note. And afterwards, I thought, you know, this is what they do. They pat themselves on the back for these films in which they have a basic message for us. And how they pat themselves on the back is they give films like that awards. So it was a, you know, Best Canadian Film of the Year, something like that. And they are trying to inject that message into all of us that there is no future and no hope. And now this is pure psychological warfare, because we all know that before an army goes off or before a platoon goes off to fight a battle in a war, the general will, you know, rouse the troops with a great speech of inspiration, and it injects strength into them, and the army will do a lot better than if they go into that battle with this attitude that, well, they're going to lose anyway, then they will lose, you see. So this is psychological warfare. Now, it's not to say that things are not dire and serious, as Eddie, you know, outlined there in the little introduction a few minutes ago. We are in a very, very serious situation. However, they inject this message to us to basically make us just roll over and, you know, die.
Monica, I mean, not only is this message a demoralizing message that they are trying to beat into our heads, but I'll add you one even stronger point here, mm-hmm. that they are mocking us. By cinematography, they are mocking our situation to every one of you. They are pumping laughter and mockery into your living rooms, people. Mm-hmm. And they are glad that you're watching it, and they are mocking our people left and right. I have seen this in videos in America. We'll be back, and I'll pick up on mockery right when we come back.
Okay.
Stay with us, people.
Thank you.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something.
Well, people, we're right back. We're going right back to Monica and Matt. And if you will, Monica, you will tell Matt about what the incident you had at the Calgary airport. And y'all go ahead and take off. Go with it.
Yes. I just recently came back from a trip to the United States. I flew into the Calgary airport. And first of all, I was just so happy that I had made it just without any incident and without any problems into the United States. Then on my way back, lo and behold, the Canadian Border Services Agency, well, I guess they had flagged my name and they pulled me aside from where most passengers go through the you know, the border check, and they detained me for 3 hours. At first it was one guard, then she got her, you know, supervisor or her colleague. Well, two more of these border agency guards came along and they went through all my belongings, and what they were looking for, get this, is quote unquote hate propaganda. They were looking for hate propaganda from my possessions. So they were particularly interested in just some books that I was carrying. Now, I just want to say that these books, I had some books. I had acquired some books. They were single copies of books. I did not have commercial quantities of books that I was going to sell that I, you know, needed to declare or anything like that. It was just basically single copies of books that I wanted to read for myself. One of them, in fact, I had taken with me to read on the airplane, so it was already in my possession here in Canada. And then on the they took 5 books from me. That was the end result of this 3 hour detention, holding me there. They confiscated 5 books, and they needed to send them off to their superiors in Ottawa to determine if these books constituted hate propaganda. Now, this is now thought control. It's prohibited thought because it's no longer even prohibited speech. This is prohibited thought because books are to read. So, and they are for me to read. So if I cannot read these, I mean, reading leads to thinking, presumably, for most of us. So this is thought control, pure and simple.
Yeah, if they allow a publishing house to print these books,
then why would they not allow people to read them?
Yeah, and, you know, I listed those five books on in my article on my website, freespeechmonica.wordpress.com. People could look that up, but yeah, these books are available. They have been readily available. I don't think that any of them are on some kind of a list of prohibited books. I was told later by some friends that, yes, Canada does have some kind of a prohibited list. However, these guards, you would think they would have access to such a list on a computer and that they could have just looked it up and looked up the titles, authors, and okay, there it is. You're not allowed to have that. But they couldn't. You see, they were humming and hawing and leafing through them, and then one of them said, oh, there's a definite theme here. Isn't there a theme here, you know? I just think it was ludicrous. I mean, you know, maybe he has a favorite theme, too, like, you know, maybe something about
cooking
or whatever.
Stepping on our bodies eating food out of our fridges and, like, anything dehumanizing, that's their theme. I'd ask them, the Bible has a theme. Is that going to be on the list of banned books?
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the Bible because, you see, two of the books that I had were books by a pastor, Pastor Eli James, and they were about the Bible or biblical study, you could say. So you could say these were books about religion, religious belief, that kind of thing. And I'll tell you something else. So, well, first of all, those two books were two of the five that were taken away from me. Somehow they were deemed to be dangerous just from these three guards leafing through stuff for 3 hours. Now, I did also have a Quran in my possession, not because I'm Muslim or planning to become Muslim, but when I was in New York City in Union Square, where there's like a speaker's corner and there was a guy, you know, speaking to the public there and he was Muslim and he had some Qurans. And, you know, I've always thought to myself, I should get a Quran to look up some of those things that people are talking about that they say there's, you know, a lot of violent teachings in there. And I thought, well, why don't I look for myself?
Sure.
Because I do like to get to the root of things and research things for myself. I don't want to just believe anything and everything that somebody tells me. So I took one. He gave a couple out to different people, and I took one, and I had that in my possession. Now, they didn't touch that. I wonder what they would have done if I had a copy of the Talmud.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, some things, I guess, are acceptable and others not, and it seems to always...
I want to talk to our Christian audience just a little bit. The Islamic God, Allah, that just translates to God. And if you ask any Muslim, they'll give you, like, what is their God's name? They will give you all of these adjectives, like giver of life, the great healer. They will give you all these adjectives, but they'll never give you a name. And when you really press them, they'll say Allah. The difference in the Christian God and Allah is that Allah does not have a name. He does not exist. And our Christian God has a name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a name.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know if I finished telling you that the Quran that I was carrying, they didn't touch that. You see, they let me keep that. And since then, I have done some research into it. And there are a lot of actual teachings of violence and, you know, kill the unbelievers, this kind of thing. So, why is that not hate propaganda?
Absolutely. I borrowed on one copy, I got one page in before I got to the first violent reference, and I put the book down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... something else that I've noticed lately about how they're talking in the mainstream media, they have escalated their language. I mean, they used to talk a lot about hate speech, and that in and of itself is just such a ridiculous term because whenever we speak truth about something, they call it hate speech, right? So hate speech is truth to those who hate the truth. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. I got that backwards. But now they're calling it extreme violence online. They have to censor all the extreme violence online. And to me, that's an oxymoron. Like, how can you be conducting violence online? By definition, anything online is nonviolent. It's a flow of information. It's a flow of words. But they're calling anything that they don't like extreme violence online. To me, that is such a...
It's an irony. It's a cruel irony. I get accosted online all the time on forums and blogs, and people use vulgar language and filth, and they don't censor that. They don't look out for my interests, you know.
Exactly. Actually, I'm dealing with that, too. I mean, I've had things said to me on public social media that were extremely vile. You know, that, well, where are the controllers of that? I mean, that just flies, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of my friends said, you know, when they're talking about people being offended so much, he said, I'm offended all the time, but no one ever cares about me being offended, you know. And that's the truth, especially with this online censorship you're talking about. And back to the books being censored. They are starting to censor a lot of books from even being published. And I spent a lot of time in the publishing industry. I want people to understand the evil behind this. They are not, you might could agree that it's acceptable for them to make a decision like, I don't want to hold this book on my shelves. But folks, technology has progressed. I'll pick up right back when we come back. I'll pick up and we'll go over this.
Thank you.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
At a rally in Philadelphia, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden calls President Trump America's divider-in-chief, saying let's stop fighting and start fixing. Meanwhile, he says China continues to move forward.
They're building 5G. Mastering AI. They're rewriting the rules of the internet. They're moving into areas that should not be abandoned by us. The rest of the world hasn't given up on the Paris Climate Accord. They're pushing it. They know it's essential to human existence.
Missouri Governor Mike Parsons tells Fox News he'll sign that state's near total ban on abortion.
We're going to sign the bill, that is. You know, I've answered that a couple of times now. You know, I'm going to sign the bill as it is. Because it's a piece of legislation that the legislators voted on. I believe in the pro-life side of the issue, and I'm going to sign the bill.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Iran and the U.S. have both maintained they have no intention of becoming mired in a physical on-the-ground war, but as tensions heighten between the two nations, media reports out of Saudi Arabia said that multiple Gulf states have agreed to a U.S. request to redeploy military forces in Gulf waters and territories as a form of deterrence should Iran attempt to use force. GOP Senator Kevin Cramer, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, was asked on Fox News this morning if National Security Advisor John Bolton has been stirring things up.
Sometimes good cop, bad cop's not a bad game to play either. I don't know what messages they're trying to send throughout the world. I think what's really important is that we have clear messaging to our allies.
President Trump, addressing the National Association of Realtors meeting in Washington, blamed the media for stirring things up with fake news.
That I'm angry with my people. I'm not angry with them. I make my own decisions. But I'm angry with my people. I'm not angry with my people. I'm worse than they are. They're worse than me are. They're more militant. Mike Pompeo's doing a great job. Bolton's doing a great job.
This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we were right back, and I'm just going to interject a little bit here. I'm so lucky to have somebody like Matt on to help run this show. Lord knows I couldn't do it by myself. It's so lucky to have such wonderful guests as we have tonight. I've got a couple of jokes I told Matt. I was texting him back. One of them I got from Monica's website, and one I got from Ted Nugent. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to read what Ted Nugent said. It probably actually happened to him. He says, "So I was walking through Chicago and I saw there was a Muslim bookstore. I was wondering what exactly was in a Muslim bookstore. So I went in. As I was wandering around to take a look, the clerk stopped me and asked if he could help me. I imagine I didn't look like his normal clientele. So I asked, do you have a copy of Donald Trump's book on his U.S. immigration policy regarding Muslims and illegal Mexicans? The clerk immediately screamed, get out and stay out. Ted Nugent said, yes, that's it. That's the one. Do you have it in paperback? Well, and also, I thought that was great. Also, I got to say this, and I'm going to shut up, y'all. We have to have a little humor every now and then to keep us from going insane. I got this off your website, Miss Monica. It shows a picture of a cop. I mean, a stern-looking, heartless, mindless robot cop. It says he's with the Thought Police. And up the caption says, looks like you have had a bit too much to think. Support your local Thought Police. Don't speak out or question. Closed minds stop thought crimes. I just had to get that in there, y'all. I hope y'all laugh about that, but I had to say that. And also, Matt, I was going to say, before y'all run out of time, before we leave the show, tell them about the letter you wrote to the Canadian officials, and I'm going to ask you if you got a response back. And I'm going to shut up. Matt, back to you, fella.
So I was talking about the censorship of books and publication, and I was saying that, you know, you could almost understand if they don't want to hold certain books on their shelves and have it as inventory. But folks, the technology has progressed so far. When you buy a book off of Amazon or whatever, they print it out immediately, and it is sent to you fresh print copy. It hasn't been sitting on a shelf. They don't have to blow dust off of it. That's it. That is how printing is done now. And so when they censor these books and these publications, talking about censorship and all this, when they censor these things, it's pure evil, because it's costing them nothing to hold the records. It's costing them nothing to have the digital copies. They are literally scrubbing our content digitally. So what do you think about that, Monica?
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. And I've heard that in New York, there are some schools who are moving towards only digital libraries, like not having any physical books anymore. I don't know if that's true. It's something I heard maybe a year or two ago. And that's particularly dangerous because you can change those books at the click of a mouse, whereas physical books, they are extremely valuable to have. I always encourage people to have physical books, even if they can read the PDF version online. If it's an important book for, you know, historical purposes and for, you know, real truth, they should get the book and have it, because the more books exist in more living rooms around the country, around the world, the more chance of these things surviving whatever is coming on us. And so I do encourage people to have physical books, get the books. Back to the cartoon, the little joke, that the cartoon that you found on my website there, that stern-looking cop that says, you know, you've had a little too much to think, that is an image of our prime minister. I don't know if you noticed that. And so added little joke on him, because he really is part of this communist. And I'll tell you something, his father, who was our prime minister for many years during my youth, that Pierre Elliott Trudeau, he was a communist. Like, he led communist delegations around to different communist countries around the world, the Canadian Communist Party. I mean, that wasn't told to us, though, when we were growing up, and, you know, when he was prime minister. The mainstream media didn't talk about that at all. I only found that out a few years ago.
Monica, I just found out that in South Africa, there was meetings between Nelson Mandela back in the late 80s, early 90s, about how they could get well, actually back in the 70s, I believe, 70s and 80s, they were working with groups there to get the communists into power. And the goal was long view. They had a long view plan of how to get communists in power. And they did the same thing in our country. I heard Obama had meetings way back in the 80s and 90s that someday they were going to work to get into the presidency. You know, they work to get these people into key positions. And this has happened in every white Western country. We are seeing the fruits of this right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true what you're saying. And that's something I've learned recently, too, about South Africa, that the whole national, what is it called, the African National Congress, they were working very closely with communists. Nelson Mandela working very closely with communists. That is who was behind the overthrow of the apartheid system. And, you know, and that's one of the things we've been lied to so much about, too, you know, the evil, evil apartheid system. Well, that's absolutely not true. If you look at some statistics of how many deaths there were in something like 40 years, there were, you know, 7,000 deaths or something. And this was, well, all kinds of reasons for these deaths. Now, you look in 20-year history of the African National Congress, sort of the, under Nelson Mandela and the people who came after him, and it was 100 times that, like 600,000 deaths, something like that. From I'm not talking about old age deaths. I'm talking about murders and violent deaths. So yeah. They don't talk about that in the mainstream media. So and under apartheid, some of these Bantustans, they had self-government. They were left to do their own governing, have their own police forces, have their own justice system. I mean, I've learned a lot about this from Jan Lamprecht, who I met recently when I was in the States. One of the books that was stolen from me, and I do call it stolen from me, was a book by him called Government by Deception by Jan Lamprecht. He's from South Africa, born in Rhodesia, by the way, and then moved to South Africa when things got just quite bad in Rhodesia, which turned, yeah. So anyway, that book, he says he has sold it in South Africa, in America, and never had any complaints, never had any problems, and it's very critical of the black government there, but no black has ever, you know, complained to him. So there's the Canadian authorities taking that book. And,
book,
you know,
the book that even our very most hated enemies of us do not make up the guise of hiding from us. The, you know, these, my point was, these regimes have been taken over a process of many years. This didn't happen yesterday.
That's
and
right.
It didn't happen even in 10 years. These people had a long view of taking over our systems, and they've done it. And we're seeing their fruits right now. The letter that you wrote to your government, tell us about it.
Well, it's just a short letter regarding the seizure of these books and explaining what was taken. And I've asked them to consider that these books are available. And I did not bring them over to sell them, and they are not banned books. I did not write the books. That's a very important point. Like, it's not me writing the books. I simply want to read these books. And what else did I say? It's nobody else's business but mine what books I choose to read, or do we now have thought laws? And then I asked, is there a list of forbidden books in Canada? If so, are these books on the list, and where is this list, and why could these border guards harassing me for 3 hours not find my books on any such list? And so I just said, you know, by their actions in seizing these books, the border guards demonstrated an utter contempt for our most basic human right, and that is the freedom to think. You know, I'm not even talking about the freedom to speak. I'm talking about the freedom to think. And then I named the guards their last names and their badge numbers, and I insist in that they return my books immediately at their expense. And I also insisted on receiving a copy of their entire report in this file. Now, when they took these books, they told me that I would get some kind of a response within 90 days. But, I mean, I've written this letter after I got back home, and you know, we'll see. I certainly am not holding my breath for a response, but I do hope they have to respond with something, some kind of a response.
Monica, this is Eddie again. I'm just going to chime in. You answered pretty much one of the questions I was going to ask. Matt said it was okay if I go ahead. So first up, ask you a two-part question. First, and you can answer it after I ask you the second one, the second part. Are you, well, when we come back, I want you to answer the question, when do you think you'll get an answer back from the Canadian officials, if you think you will get one? And I also want you and Matt to tell me, how about the apartheid system going on in Israel? Do you think there's an apartheid system going on over there? Y'all be thinking about those two questions and answer when we come back to break. Hang on to y'all seats, folks. We're going to be right back.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, folks, we're back with this fantastic interview. I want to thank my two people on the night. I want to thank Matt. He's doing a wonderful job, and also so is Daniel. Thank you so much, you guys, for being on. Before I forget, I was going to ask y'all, either one of y'all can answer. I guess I'll ask you, Matt, what do you think about the government? And I know this may be a rhetorical question, but what about the government that they have in Israel, their border policy? Would that not be, am I retarded? But that seems like an apartheid government to me, Matt. I want you to chew on that.
And, yeah, it's absolutely apartheid. They separate the Palestinians from their people. They don't allow them in their schools. They put walls. Whenever they want to acquisition a piece of land that's not theirs, they actually build a wall around it, and then the legislation and an army force comes later to take it. So, and right now they've kind of built a kind of a metaphorical wall around Iran with our battleships and our military. So, yeah, they apartheid themselves very well. What do you think, Monica?
Yeah, I would actually call it something else. I would call the situation going on in Israel, they have created an open-air prison for the Palestinians, and I would call it genocide. I mean, apartheid is not, in my view, I mean, they are practicing apartheid like what you described there and separating them in their schools and whatnot, but they are doing much, much, much more than that. They are genociding the Palestinians, and they are creating an open-air prison for them. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to say about that. If I may, I'd like to go back to what we were talking about, communism. You know, when we were growing up, we had no idea that it's the same group of people that were pulling the strings behind the communist system as were pulling the strings in our side of the world, and we were then told that that's the big boogeyman over there and that we're just so great over here, not understanding that it's the same people behind both systems. So Jews in high places have said Judaism is communism. Karl Marx, a Jew, wrote the Communist Manifesto. The Bolsheviks were mostly Jews, or, you know, their minions. So those who were basically running the show, the Bolsheviks, that was Jews. And they, under that system, murdered millions and millions and millions of white Christians, mostly, were the victims of their total, you know, genocidal, tyrannical system that over the last century there. So, and that now what we have in our country, worse, I'd say, we're in a worse state than you are in the States, in Canada here. I mean, it's so communist now, but it's just not called that. Everything they're doing is in that direction of communism. And
you know, I was listening to John Stattmiller. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Just yeah, that's going. Good. Please. No, go ahead, please.
I was listening to John Stattmiller on RBN, and I wanted to throw out a quote that I heard from him shout out to him, but I really thought it was a great quote, and anyone listening here can probably identify with this. He said, "I'm just a guy who was lied to my whole life, and then one day I woke up and realized I'm swimming in a sea of lies."
Yeah.
I had to do something about it. You know.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Bingo.
But I'd like to, I know this segment ends quite quickly, and one thing that I really would like to make sure that we get out there, this message to reject their, I think people call it the black pill. I didn't know what that term meant. You know, I was so familiar with red pill and blue pill from that Matrix movie. But, you know, the meme of the red pill. But black pill, that's nihilism or defeatism, or, you know, that there's no hope, no future, back to what we talked about at the beginning of this hour with that film and how they do pure psychological warfare on us. But you see, we have to reject that. And what does give me hope is that they feel the need to do all this psychological warfare against us. So they know that if we understood the truth en masse, I mean, many of us do, and many more every day are waking up, thank God. But if we really did understand the truth of what's going on, and if we reject their message, then that's it. Game over for them. We then have won. And we will rise up. And, you know, we have been really down before. And then when the white people wake up and understand what is going on, we have tremendous strength, creativity, the intelligence to figure out what to do. We can stand up. And that's what they're so afraid of. And the fact that they are clamping down so hard on our speech now, and you know, we're losing our freedom of speech, you know, they're clamping down, that is because they are in a panic, and that should give us hope, you see. So that is how I see it. We absolutely must reject their message of no future, no hope. That we have to reject that outright. The reason they foist that on us, the reason they want us to believe that, is so that we just sit down, do nothing. that's not, we don't have a choice. That's not an option. So that's the message I want to get out there.
Absolutely. Monica, there are answers in scriptures, and Christians are going to have to take the reins here and stand up, even for our non-Christian brothers, and lead. We are going to have to lead. The answer is in Philippians. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. Our opponents are scared by us not being scared.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Christians need to get their spine. Stand up. Put your spine back on. Stand up. Embrace the word of God. Embrace the heritage that we have received and run with that faith. Like Hebrews says, run in the faith. That's what we're to do as Christians. Can I give a quote from John Calvin? Because you fell right in line with many, many others, Monica. When you are persecuted, you're stopped and questioned at borders. Even in our own movement, others have been stopped and questioned at borders. But let me talk about what John Calvin said, and I think this is so phenomenal. Listen, people. John Calvin said, in his preface to the Gospel of John, his commentary, he said, I never call to remembrance that saying of Christ, in which he set so high a value on the duty of receiving strangers with kindness as to reckon it done to himself, without considering at the same time the extraordinary honor which he has been pleased to confer on you by making the city your resort, not of one or a few individuals, but of his church at large. Among heathen countries, hospitality was always commended and was even accounted one of the principal virtues, and accordingly, when they intended to denounce any people as barbarians and savages of the lowest stamp, they called them, and there's a Greek word I can't pronounce, or, which means the same thing, inhospitable. Our enemies call us inhospitable, and they want to take from us, but we are the hospitable ones. And John Calvin goes on to say this. He says, but far higher praise is due to you that in these troublesome and unhappy times, the Lord has appointed you to be the persons whose support and protection should be solicited by godly and inoffensive men banished and driven from their native countries by the wicked and cruel tyranny of Antichrist. And not only so, but he has also dedicated to his name a sacred dwelling place among you where his worship may be maintained in purity. Whoever attempts in the slightest degree openly to invade or secretly to take from you these two advantages not only labors to deprive your city of its brightest ornament, but beholds its existence and safety with an envious eye. Monica, John Calvin just called you a bright ornament.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Because these evildoers have conspired to take from you that which that God has given us all.
Yes. So, no, I like what you have said. And you know, something came to my mind as you were reading that they project onto us their own, like everything that they are doing against us, like what our enemies are doing against us, they project those things onto us. So if they hate us, they call us the haters. They are afraid, and they try to make us afraid, and they project that onto us, and we must shed our fear, like you said earlier. We must absolutely shed our fear, because that is what they are very afraid of, is when we shed our fear. And that's why they put this culture of fear all everywhere. Like, we just get these messages everywhere that we should be afraid all the time. And, you know, it's actually the big reason they have tried to destroy God. And what I always wondered, why did the Bolsheviks forbid religion? Why did they do that? And now I understand it is because people without God are more easily controlled by these enemies of us. So, and that is just so fundamental in this whole story. So,
Monica, we're almost out of time. I want to ask one quick question. Y'all are both so on fire. I hated to even interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Number one, if you could name the enemy. Well, it's too late. Anyway, we'll have, Monica, if you have any more trouble from the Canadian government, please contact us, okay? Because we'll get you right back on the air.
Yeah.
People, what a dynamite interview we've had tonight. I'm just blessed with these unbelievable guest and unbelievable co-host. Now you know why I have these people on. I couldn't do this by myself. Y'all, please pray for yourself, pray for us, pray for the world, pray for the United States of America and all of our white people. God bless you. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, God willing. Good night.